The following show is closed caption for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
In this half hour, I'm going to spend quite a bit of time talking about Mike Ellis in a way that we haven't so far. There are two burning questions concerning Mike Ellis, and I'm going to get to those in just a bit. Before we do, I want to share something that I talked about on the After Show video yesterday, and that is Stephen Colbert taking over for David Letterman sometime next year whenever Letterman leaves. This is seen as a tremendous gamble by CBS because Colbert, the way he's going to be doing the show, by the way, I think his name is actually Colbert. But anyway, Colbert, the way a lot of people think that that basically what CBS is doing is hiring an unknown. Well, how can you say that? Stephen Colbert is very famous, has a popular show on Comedy Central, The Colbert Report. And how is this an unknown? Because his entire shtick on The Colbert Report is just that, shtick. He is pretending to be a Bill O'Reilly knockoff. It's not real. Shortly after the announcement, CBS followed up with another announcement that he's not going to do it in character, that it's going to be Stephen Tyrone Colbert. Nobody knows who that is. He's let the persona down a little bit from time to time to show off what a big liberal he really is. But in terms of, he's the youngest of 11 children in a Catholic family. I did not know that. But in terms of what he can bring to a late show, nobody knows. Now, I have seen him do interviews, and he's a very good interviewer. He has very good comedic timing. But nobody has really seen him do an actual talk show. Jason is marveling at his family genes, his father, doctor, medical school dean at Yale, St. Louis University, and then at the Medical University of South Carolina, where he's vice president for academic affairs. And his mother, Lorna Colbert, was a homemaker. I thought we didn't say that anymore. Or is homemaker more appropriate than housewife, right? Yeah. Intelligent guy. This just seems like such an off-the-wall move. And it's a risky one for him as well. His show is very, very popular. Okay. His father changed it to Colbert, otherwise it was Colbert. Yeah. Okay. In any event, however he pronounces his name, I think to put somebody on the air, to do a show when they have never been themselves, where their entire public persona is a phony one, I think it's very possible it will fail because what made him popular is pretending to be something he isn't and make fun of it. Pretend to be a conservative to show how dumb conservatives are. How this translates, I think, is going to be very, very interesting. If I had to bet, I'd bet against it. But he might also have talents I'm not aware of because he's never showcased them. But it's an entirely new show with a familiar name and face, but not really a familiar person. Because the person you see on Comedy Central is not Stephen Colbert. Nobody knows who he really is. So that will be very interesting to see. Second, and some of you heard me mention this before, someone threw a shoe at Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton made fun of it. And everything that's being reported is how well she handled it. Compare and contrast that to how liberals reacted when someone threw a shoe at President George W. Bush. Then, well, somebody should throw a shoe at that SOB. But that's the way it is. All right. On to Mike Ellis. Yesterday was day two of a Project Veritas video dump on Mike Ellis. There wasn't a lot of new there, but there was some. There was some. One of the things that Project Veritas did in the second video dump is point out that the fundraiser that Ellis said he was coordinating with to do what would be an illegal super PAC, Ellis, the day after the Wednesday dump, and I'm assuming everyone's aware of this, that he was secretly recorded in a Madison bar where he said he was working and putting together a super PAC, which would be illegal for him to coordinate. And the fundraiser, chief fundraiser, who he said was working on it, she parted ways with him after this broke, said, "I would never do that. We didn't discuss it." Ellis said he and she did not discuss it. Yet what Project Veritas does in the Thursday dump is go back and say, "Yeah, but he said, I told Judy, dot, 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 about he could raise this much and she would have to be the crap machine against his fall opponent, Representative Penny Bernard Schaber." Probably the other biggest gotcha moment is where he says he was running the Senate and not Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald. By the way, that's what most frustrated conservatives believe, that Mike Ellis was behind the scenes, just had way too much power, way too much leverage, and way too much influence, especially for some of his moderate positions. But there are two questions that arise out of this today. One is, does Ellis recognize that this wound is filled and he should likely retire because this seat is so critical to Republicans controlling the state Senate? And two, did someone with an agenda in Wisconsin politics put Project Veritas on Ellis's scent? Let's start with the second one first. And by the way, I'm reading from a piece I wrote for Right Wisconsin, which appeared there today. James O'Keefe and Veritas became famous by outing liberal organizations, most notably Acorn, the Planned Parenthood, that sort of thing. The video points out that they are willing to expose anyone of any ideology. But it seems unlikely that Ellis appeared on the radar screen without an assist from someone in state. Now, who that might be, there are a lot of suspects. Mike has hacked off a lot of conservatives on any number of positions he's taken. There is a name, and I'm going to disclose it because the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel talked to this person. There is a name that was all over Republican circles yesterday, and that was Scott Jensen. He's a former assembly speaker, and he is a senior lobbyist for the American Federation for Children. Ellis, of course, has been the lead in the resistance to expanding voucher schools. And there are people who have tried to navigate Mike Ellis on that. Scott Jensen, I'm telling you right now, most people in the Republican establishment believe Scott Jensen did it. Scott Jensen was asked by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He adamantly, flatly, as they put it, denied it. "I don't know James O'Keefe. We had nothing to do with the video," Jensen said. "Like everyone else, I watched it with awe." There are some conservatives who believe him. There are some conservatives who do not believe him. I don't really know Scott Jensen. I think I met him once, but I don't really know him. I'm going to take him at his word because I have no reason to doubt it. I will just tell you that there are those in Republican circles who are convinced that it was him. Of course, we don't know if anybody from the Wisconsin right actually is responsible for putting Project Veritas on this. If they were, as critical as I've been of Mike Ellis at time, if someone was responsible for that, I think that would be shameful. Mike Ellis, on the other hand, is responsible for what he says in public. He was burned once before. Once before. By shooting his mouth off in the same bar. And then he does it in spades. By the way, in the second video, it appears his handler or scheduler, whoever she was with him, is like, you know, that she kind of figured out something was up. And Mike claimed to know the Project Veritas person's father, and it, Jason says it took her long enough. It took her way too long. All right, the second, so again, I wouldn't support that. But in any event, I would not support going after him. In any event, Mike is responsible for what he did and what he said. Then the second question, will he run? Here's what I can tell you. I spent a lot of time on the phone yesterday talking to people involved with this. There are two things. There have been names brought about that might challenge him in a primary. I spoke with one of the people whose name has been mentioned. What they told me is they would never challenge Ellis in a primary. I don't know of anyone who would right now. I don't think that's going to happen. The question is, does Mike Ellis run or not run? Question two, or part two of question two, does he run? I've been told by a source familiar with the situation, as they say in the media, that there were a lot of conversations yesterday. Some involved Mike Ellis. Some did not include Mike Ellis, about what Mike Ellis should do. And there's a sense he should seriously look at stepping aside and letting another Republican challenge. His seat is critical, just critical. There are three seats seen as pivotal. Actually, I really think it's two, but there are three. Ellis's, the seat now held by Rhino Dale Schultz, and Terry Moulton's seat in western Wisconsin, the Eau Claire area. Actually, I think Moulton's safe. The numbers, when you look at the numbers, it's very close, Republican to Democrat, but I think he's relatively safe. I think Howard Markline is a very strong candidate as the Republican nominee instead of Dale Schultz. But that's not to say either one of those couldn't lose. Mike Ellis' seat was seen as leaning right. I think it's now a toss-up. I do. I think it's now a toss-up. And I think what's going to happen, rather than the National Democratic Party spend money on Mary Burke, they'll try to take that seat, try if they can to capture the Senate, figuring they probably won't be able to beat Scott Walker, especially if Mary Burke doesn't have her own money involved. So they're going to pour a lot of money into the one race that they really think they can win, Ellis's, if it's Ellis, and use that video for TV spots. Ellis has often been accused of putting himself above the body in which he serves. We'll find out in the coming days if that's true. But clearly, there are those in his circle who are telling him, you know, you can't get past this. You can't. We will see what Mike Ellis does. I believe he should step aside, but that's just my opinion. I think it'd be almost impossible for him to beat Schaber now. Almost impossible. It's a little early in the Passover season, but there is a sacrificial lamb to talk about. We'll get to that later in the show. It's 9:21.
Follow Jerry on Twitter. Go to jerrybatershow.com.